Welcome to Stories with Straight Arrow. My name is Chief Straight Arrow, and I will be your guide as we travel the trail together. So let's get ready to head over to the council fire, where we will sit up straight, listen, learn, and never forget. Now, as we get ready to head out on the trail together, first, let's take a moment and stop at the trading post, and there, we'll see if we have any messages from any of our friends. Today we find ourselves already sitting in the trading post and visiting with Louie. He is a good friend and we enjoy spending time together. As we sit and talk with one another, he brings to us a message that has come into the trading post. It is from a young listener by the name of Alice. And she wants to know, do natives ever go on vacation? Well, Alice, the answer to that is both yes and no. Let me explain what I mean. When I say yes, it wouldn't be a vacation as you and I think of vacations today. But the vacation that many of the men and boys would go on is called a walkabout. They could last a few weeks, months, or almost a year when they would travel around the countryside looking, learning, and meeting other people. That's how they would learn and be able to make other friends. So if that could be considered a vacation, yes, it would be. Young girls and women very rarely or never went on walkabouts. So I guess for them, there would be no vacation. But I said that the answer was yes and no. And here's why no, they would not have what we think of as vacations. There was always things that must be done, tasks that must be completed. But those were not considered drudgery or a problem. It was part of life. And so they made it part of life. Everyone joined in together, and it was what we did together as a family, as a village, and as a group. And so many times it seemed like a vacation because this work task may take us away from the village for a short period of time. Well, I hope that helps you understand a little bit about Native life in the ancient days. Thank you for your question, Alice, and I look forward to hearing from others of you. But right now, it is time to say goodbye to Louie, leave the trading post, head out onto the trail over to the council fire where we will hear today's episode. It was 2 days after the warriors had left for Fort Stanley. Now, the clouds began to gather, and the people of the village hurried about to make final preparations before the snows finally came. By early on the third day, snow had begun to fall to the north and west. For certain, the Beaver Grounds and Lonely Mountain would be deep in snow, and by midday, the snow began to fall in the village of Onegas Nebe. Straight Arrow stood in the village, speaking with Elkhart. Together, they looked to the east, and Elkhart said that he hoped the snow was not falling upon the four warriors. He had no way of knowing that the snow had not reached them yet. Straight Arrow answered, "Even if the snow was upon them, the great creator God would guide and protect them." As the two older warriors stood speaking together, they noticed that the children of the village were running about in great excitement. The snow would bring new fun and games. Yes, it was true that with winter comes much more work, but much fun too. By later that day, the snow began to get deeper, And as evening came on, Whitewater, Small Bear, along with Stillwater, sat in the lodge of Straight Arrow and Princess Pine. They greatly enjoyed each other's company. As they visited together, Straight Arrow looked at the three friends and said, "I believe tomorrow will be the day." Small Bear replied by asking, "Day for what?" For all three looked puzzled. Straight Arrow replied, "It will snow all night. Tomorrow, I will need the three of you to find a branch of wood as big around as a warrior's arm. You will take this stick, and you will drag it in the fresh snow and make a trail." And Princess Pine said, "Yes, yes, and while you are doing this, Straight Arrow and I will get water from the lake since it is not yet frozen. We will sprinkle the water on your trail, making it icy." The three friends looked at Straight Arrow and Princess Pine and then each other and all said at exactly the same time, "Snow Snake!" Princess Pine laughed. "Yes, the village children have been making, creating, decorating their sticks for some time now. I have watched them." Straight Arrow said that he would go and speak to Louie to see if he would be willing to have candy as a prize for the winner. He is always so very willing to share what he has with others. Next morning, the snow had stopped, but it was now almost up to Straight Arrow's knee. He looked at the three friends as they got ready to go out and make the trail, and he said quietly to them, "It is good that you are here to help, my friends. I am glad to have you with me." The excitement in the village grew for the festival of the Snow Snake game. The children kept going to check and see if the trail was ready yet. The contest would take place the next day. Louie, as usual, was more than willing to share. In fact, he said that he would have two prizes. One for the winner of the distance, whoever snake went the furthest. The second prize, he said, will be for the stick that looks the best, as judged by Elkhart, the village chief. On the fifth day after the warriors had left for Fort Stanley, the game was ready. The air was cold, the sun bright. All were dressed in their winter clothing and ready. In all, 35 children came to play. But they would need one more, so that there would be groups of two. So at the last moment, Straight Arrow grabbed the stick to make number 36. When it came his turn to play, he was competing against a young maiden named Blue Flower. Blue Flower went to the line first, and she made her throw, and her stick snake went about halfway down the trail, and the judges marked the spot. Next, Straight Arrow walked to the line, pretending to study the track and to aim his stick, which was very crooked, by the way. He slid his stick, but it went out of the trail almost right away. Princess Pine laughed out loud, and shortly afterwards, all of the village began to laugh and to cheer for Blue Flower. Straight Arrow, he laughed too. He was glad to put others first, just as Eagle Feather, his great chief, had taught him many years before. The final two came to the line later that day after many had already played. The final two were Blue Flower and a boy named Ahanu, whose name means laughter. He was the son of two deers. Blue Flower went first, and her stick snake slid a little over halfway, and once again the judges marked it. Next came Ahanu's turn. His throws had always gone far down the trail, beating all of his competitors very, very easily. Ahanu came to the line. Everyone knew that he would win. It was just a matter of time. just before he slid his stick, he looked up at Straight Arrow. Straight Arrow looked back at him and only smiled. Ahanu made his throw. His stick went halfway and stopped. The village went silent. Ahanu had lost. But it was Ahanu who first cheered for Blue Flower, and he took her hand and raised it above her head in victory. Ahanu liked winning. He liked winning a lot. But he had learned how important it was to put others first. The village was excited as Elkhart came forward to announce the winner. Elkhart announced, "Blue Flower's stick had won the best looking as well." Louie came forward at that point and gave her two pieces of candy. Blue Flower looked down at the candy in her hands. She looked around at everyone cheering, and quietly, she walked over to Ahanu and shared one piece of candy with him. There would be other snow snake contests for sure, but everyone agreed that this first one had been the best. Thank you so much for joining me today at the Council Fire. I have loved having you along with me. If you would like to send a message or a question to the Trading Post, ask your adult for permission, and then send it to askstraightarrow@gmail.com. I may choose your question to answer on the program. And finally, if you would like to support this program, you can find the link in the show notes. Once again, thank you for joining me, and I hope to see you next time at the Council Fire.